At 6 minutes to nine, actually a similar sort of subject in a way, we tend to think of the paper version of a newspaper or a magazine as the legacy bit of it, not long for this world, as digital takes over, at least in the cities and among Evan's friends. Certainly not the driving force in the commercial sense, you could say, but there's a report from the European Digital Media Landscape which suggests otherwise, and suggests so in an interesting way, because in many respects we assume that has been the case, and we sort of assume it because we see it in our daily lives, but actually it's not necessarily the case. There is, it seems, still room for, at least in a niche sense, paper papers, if you see what I mean. Jim Bilton is co-author of European Digital Media Landscape 2020, managing director of Wessenden Marketing, a media consultant, and is here. And so is Carla Buzashi, who is editor-in-chief of Huffington Post UK, which, as you will know, is online. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is interesting, Jim Bilton, because I mean, all right, on trains and in places where, you know, people assume that it's either you haven't got your device with you or it's difficult to get it out and it's handed to you. But you're saying more than that, that actually at home as well, paper products have a future.
Indeed. I think if you look at the consumer wants everything, wants all kinds of different touch points, smartphone, smart TV, tablet, but also paper. And in mapping out, we were commissioned to look by the Stationers Company, an independent communications think tank, but we were commissioned to look at paper usage right across the board, including direct mail and in-store usage, but particularly in media. What we see is that paper is moving from the default, the primary communication medium, into a secondary niche one. So it's moving from a print-first world into a digital-first world, where print still has a role.
And what's the economics of that? I mean, can it be kept afloat? Can these print side of these businesses be kept afloat, do you think, long term?
If you look into the detail, the economics are very murky, but there are a lot of operations where print is funding the digital developments. If you look at the Financial Times, for example, if you look at its audience footprint, 70% of its audience footprint is still through the print newspaper. Mm. So all the headlines are about digital. It needs to invest in digital. It's making a lot of money.
You need a paper, Carla.
We have no plans to have a paper, I can tell you that at the moment. I think it's very interesting. People assume that when this question comes up that I'm going to say, it's all about digital, print will die, and I'm not going to say that. When your producer phoned me last night and said, will you come on, I was sitting there surrounded by the remnants of the Sunday Times. On a Sunday, I still buy a print paper, but I certainly don't during the week. And you're seeing that not just with young audiences, but with older audiences as well. And I don't think it's just in cities. I mean, we can see where our traffic's coming from, where our audience is coming from. Certainly when we launched Huffington Post 3 years ago in the UK, it was mainly a city-based audience. That's not the case now. It's all across the country that our users are consuming the news that we're creating on the site. So I think everything's very fast-paced. Things are moving at speed. You talk about legacy. For us, our legacy is actually our desktop experience. People are now consuming the Huffington Post on their mobile and tablet in ever-increasing numbers. I think the number reading is mobile something like 177% year on year.
But, I mean, Jim, are we talking sort of high, when you look at what is consumed in print still and what will be in 10, 20, 30 years, it's high-end stuff that people are willing to pay quite a lot for and has content that is genuinely interesting to them and adds something to their lives and that they can't, and this is the crucial thing, they can't get online.
That's an obvious premium area. I mean, there is an example in the Stationers report where we look at Net-a-Porter, which is an e-commerce fashion site which has operated very successfully as pure play digital, a site that looks like a magazine, which this year launched a print magazine. So with a 400,000 distribution, they say, and quoting them, that women buy fashion online, but they browse it and dream about it in print. Yeah. So it's print is adding engagement and depth and colour.
And that's, in a sense, your point, isn't it, Carla, with the Sunday Times, that actually there are some things you get from print you can't get online, and you'll never be able to.
No, and I think it's about the consumer. What do they want to consume and where do they want to consome it? If they're on the train, tablet might be more convenient. If they want to take time, especially with Net-a-Porter, to decide whether to buy a £5,000 dress, then maybe it's through print.
Carla Buzashi and Jim Bilton as well. Thanks both.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Our editors were Laura Cooper and Purvi Padney. Have a good morning.